Are you ready to have your website get found by the right people? Are you looking to rank at the top of Google so you get more traffic to your website? Are you ready to learn how to use SEO and content marketing to grow your organic traffic? If so, you are in the right place, my friend. Welcome to the Simple SEO Content Podcast, where I show you how to combine the power of SEO, search engine optimization, and content marketing to build your like, know, and trust factor with your audience, which allows you to get found by the right people and turn those visitors into buyers. No more frustration or confusion, and no more time wasted wondering if you're doing your SEO right. It's time to learn how to use SEO and content marketing to grow your business. Hey, happy Thursday. Welcome to day three of our SEO for Beginners course. Today, we are going to talk all about how you do SEO on your website step by step. So first things first, if you are here with me live, thank you so much. Do me a favor and close out your inbox, put your phone on silent, all of that, just so there's no distractions, so that you can walk through this training with me, because you're going to probably want to take some notes today, because this is going to be a really great one that's going to show you exactly what we do step by step by step. All right. So the very first thing is we're going to talk about where do we use keywords. So last night I had you brainstorm and think about your keywords that you could use for your homepage and for that first blog post that you're kind of brainstorming, that you worked on that post-it note idea, and you came up with something that you could write about to connect with your ideal customer. So now we're going to take that keyword. If we've verified, we've made sure it looks like you have a really good chance of ranking on Google's first page. Now you're going to take that keyword and you're going to use it in all of the places that Google is going to look for information on your website about what each page is about. So we're going to use it in your title tag, your meta description, your image file name, your header tags, your copy, and your URL. And we're going to go through all of that in the next couple of minutes. So if you don't already have a copy of my SEO checklist, I'm going to go ahead and put the link here in the chat for those of you who are live or watching the replay. If you're listening on the special podcast, you can go to etchedmarketing.com/freebies. Download the SEO content quick start guide. The very last page of that has an SEO checklist that I give to my students. You can use this. Go ahead and print it off. Keep it nearby, and it's going to give you a little checklist to just double check to make sure that you are doing what you need to do on that new page or blog post, because I want to make sure that if you're going to take the time and effort to do SEO, I want you to get the results. Pretty simple, right? So make sure you have that. If you don't already have a copy, or you have it, you know you downloaded it, but you're not quite sure where it is, no worries. It happens to the best of us. Go ahead and just request it again. The system will send it out to you. You'll have it super soon. Michelle, just go to the link in the comments. I put the link there in the chat. Go ahead and request a copy of the SEO Quick Start Guide, or if you're not able to find the link, it's etchedmarketing.com/freebies. Request the SEO Content Quick Start Guide. That's going to have that checklist on the very last page. All right, so we're going to go through where we're using our keywords. So the very first place we're going to do it is the title tag. Your title tag it serves two purposes. The first purpose is it helps Google understand what your page is about, because it is one of your SEO optimization elements. It is one of the places that Google is going to look for clues as to what the page is about. Twofold, your ideal customer is going to read your title tag because it shows up in the search results. So your title tag is designed to encourage someone to click through to come to your website. So you really want to think about this as you're writing it, and you want to make sure that you're writing it for your reader and you're using your keyword for Google, okay? You want to keep it under 60 characters, because at that point, it could truncate, meaning Google could change what shows, or it could just put in a series of ellipses. So if you want to have control over the message, which you do, keep it under 60 characters. They actually say 56 characters is ideal because Google changed, oh gosh, probably 8 or 10 years ago. I was still at the agency when it changed. It's no longer a specific character count. It's a size count, pixel count, whatever. We still say keep it under 60 characters because that allows you to keep it under that pixel count and it's going to work fine for you. So it makes it a little easier. Now, here's a bonus. If you can include a call to action verb, a term such as shop, find out, discover, learn, that we've seen in research studies to increase the click-through rate, meaning the number of people who see your listing in Google who click on it, we've seen up to a 30% increase just by including a call to action term in your title tag. So when I was with the agency, you better believe we used call to action terms at the beginning of every single page we possibly could, because it did help increase the click-through rate, which got us more people to the client's website. So great piece of knowledge there. The other thing is if you can use your keyword in the beginning of the title tag, it does help. It's not something you have to do, but it is a good thing to do. If you are targeting multiple keywords, you have a primary and a secondary, you want that page to rank for a couple things, make sure your primary is in each of these elements. If you have space and you can add a secondary keyword here, keeping it under 60 characters, and that includes the spaces, so it's very challenging to do in most circumstances, you can include that secondary keyword in your title tag as well. You do have two options for how you write title tags. Either one is going to be okay with Google. You can either write keyword pipe business name, or you can write it in a sentence format using that call to action term. You will likely see a better click-through, more people coming to your website if you write it in sentence form with that call to action. But if you have like a long keyword and you really can't fit the long keyword and your business name and the call to action, just do keyword pipe business name, or just do your sentence. If you can't fit the business name in it, it's okay. Your keyword's probably more important anyway. Put the business name in your meta description. We're going to talk about your meta description next. It has a little more room to work. So your title tag is basically one sentence. It's your first introduction to your website. Your meta description is next. So your meta description, you now have 160 characters. So 2.5 times the amount of space. Your meta description is basically your introduction. If your title tag is the title of your page or that very, very first thing to catch their attention, the meta description is what helps them determine if they should read more. So your meta description should again use your keyword, because remember, Google is looking for it. And in the search results, Google is going to bold the keyword that they have searched for in your meta description and your title tag in the search results so that they know, oh, this is about what I was searching for. Use your keyword, write it in sentence format. This is written again for your ideal customer. You're going to optimize it. You're going to use that keyword for Google, but this is written for your customer. It's going to show up again, like I talked about, in the search results. It'll actually show up just below the URL. And we're going to look at this in just a moment. So your image file names, your pictures, these can be optimized and should be. So there's a couple things we want to do with our pictures. Again, use your keyword. In your keyword, with your keyword, you're going to have, with your keyword, you're going to want to use dashes, the ones that look like minus signs, in between each of your keywords in your image file name. I see a question about where do I get the notes on this. This is all in the quick start guide. So make sure you print that out. It's going to have all the rules on all of this for you to make it a little easier so you don't have to write it all down. So you're going to use your keyword. You're going to put the dashes, the ones that look like minus signs, in between the keywords if you have that multiple, like long tail keyword like we've talked about using. You're going to use your business name in your image file name as well, because that's going to allow you to then show up, have those images show up when someone searches for your business you have that opportunity to show up even more. So again, keyword first, business name, dashes that look like minus signs in between each one. Google reads those as a space. Bonus tip here, make sure you are reducing your file size. You want to minify your file. Do not just upload your file. We're not uploading it just with image 678 or just off our phones or anything like that anymore. And we're going to use a minification tool, something like JPEG Mini. If you're on WordPress, you can use a plugin like WP Smush. If you are a photographer and you use Acrobat, Adobe products, Photoshop, you can export for web. What you want is the best image quality at the smallest image file size, because generally photos are the thing that really slows websites down because photo files are very large. We want to have the smallest files possible because that will help speed our site up, our load time, and that's really important to Google. They want our site to be speedy because our ideal consumer will not wait for our site to load. I did see a question about Canva. Yeah, you can export in Canva. Just make sure you're trying to keep your file in the kilobytes, not the megabytes. That's going to make the biggest difference for you. So just play around with your settings to see where do you get good quality. You don't want it to be pixelated. You don't want it to be grainy, but you want it to be a small file. Also, if you are using Canva, other tools like that, save as a JPEG, not a PNG, unless you specifically need a background that is transparent, because a JPEG is going to be a smaller file. Yeah. So Sabrina said there's a compress button in there too. So it might be worth testing that. Just see how that works for you. Play around with it and see. All right. The next place that we're going to use our keyword is in our copy and our header tags. We talked a little bit about header tags, your H1, your H2, and your H3. As a quick refresher, your H1 tag is what your whole page is about. By default, WordPress is going to make whatever the title of your page or your blog post is, they're going to make that the header tag. So should not be an issue because your page should be about your keyword. So that's going to have your keyword in it. Then remember, your H2 tag is like your section header and your H3 is your subsection. So if you're targeting just one word, use that one word in each of those areas. If you're trying to target two or three words on that page, your most important is in your H1 tag. Your H2 and your H3 tags can include those secondary keywords. So you can use other keywords that are closely related. You're also going to want to make sure that you're using your keyword in your copy. Now, I'm not going to tell you that you have to write to a specific keyword density score. If you see advice out there that tells you to use your keyword X number of times or to write to a specific keyword density score, I want you to close out that tab, close out that video, ignore that person. Because the head of search at Google has said multiple times, there is no ideal keyword density score. There is no ideal number of times to use your keyword. They want you to write for your audience. They do not want you to write for them. Danny Sullivan is now the head of search at Google. Matt Cutts used to be. They have both said the same thing. Danny used to be my editor at Search Engine Land. These are the men we listen to. They know what they want because they're in charge. So no perfect keyword density score. You are going to naturally use your keyword because that's what your page is about. The tip I give my students is to just write. Don't worry about how many times. Just write, tell a great story, provide value for your ideal customer, anticipate their questions, make sure you're answering them because Google wants your content to be very helpful. And we're going to talk about that in a few minutes. Then go back and reread it out loud, because that's going to help you determine if you've done what we call keyword stuffing. You've used your keyword too many times, or if maybe you could edit it slightly and add your keyword in one more time and still have it feel very natural. Your reader is your audience. They are who you are writing this for. You are not writing this for the search engine. Okay. So just make sure that it feels very natural. It is written for your customer first. That is what Google wants you to do. Right. I see a question that came up. Did I misunderstand you yesterday when you said we should use the keyword just twice? Yes. So Esther, what you want to do is only use the keyword on two different pages on your website. But within each blog post, you're going to use it in multiple places, but only two times on your site. So you're only going to target the same keyword two times across your entire website, but you will use it multiple times on those pages. Let me know if that makes sense. Great question. Pulled us right into this slide of why are we only using one? We're only using that one core keyword because Google is going to only rank us a maximum of two times for the same keyword. So by using additional keywords, we actually increase our reach and we have a better chance of increasing the amount of traffic that we are able to get to our websites. So two pages using that keyword multiple times for those two pages. So what does it look like? I get this question a lot. So this is in the back on Moz with that very first one. That's what it looks like in the code, basically. So that's how I have it written. And then in the results, you'll see how it shows up. So you'll see in this particular one, Google actually changed what I wrote. So in the code, I wrote small business, SEO and marketing consultant, pipe etched marketing. Google switched it slightly and they put etched marketing at the beginning, small business, SEO and marketing consultant. This does happen sometimes, you guys. It's just part of what we go through, but it's important to make sure that you have your keyword there. So in this instance, I'm targeting small business SEO. I'm also targeting marketing consultant. So that is a way that I was able to target both of those there on that particular page.
Hey there, this is Rachel. I wanted to let you know super quick about my free 5-day website traffic booster class that kicks off on May 1st. If you're not registered yet, get registered now. There's two super easy ways. You can go to the website etchedmarketing.com and click on the freebies tab and you'll find it right there. Or even easier, DM me on Instagram at Etched Marketing Academy and send me just one word, the word traffic, and we'll get you all signed up. I want to see you in class. You're going to learn so much about SEO and content marketing and how to use the two together to grow your business and get more traffic to your website. Sign up right now. We're going to hop right back into the episode.
All right, so let's talk about competitive niches. Who is in a competitive niche? Have you gone and looked at your keywords and gone, whoa, everything I thought I was going to try to rank for is super competitive? So I'm just curious, let me know in the chat, do you have a competitive niche? Because many of you do, okay? It's really common today. I'm in a very, very competitive niche with SEO because there are so many SEO tools and they all blog and they all do all this content. And it is a very difficult niche to be in because of the big tools. So, yep, we've got some. Yeah, Esther, real estate is a competitive niche dominated by the big companies, not as much by local competitors. Absolutely. So what we do when we're in a situation like this, what we want to do is to really use our blog, because sometimes we find that those keywords that we really would like to rank for like the homepage or the core pages of the website, we're not going to be able to outrank the competition. Because like Sabrina, I'm going to just pull you because I know you're in real estate. So in your situation, homes for sale in your city is probably not something you're going to be able to rank for because Zillow and Redfin and Realtor.com and all of them are going to be there. So you're going to have to look for other terms that you can rank for that will bring people in who are also interested in buying or selling a home. So your blog is going to be your key to how we do this so that we can get traffic to the website when there is a challenging situation with some of the more core keywords. And I did see a question about, is it okay to use keywords twice for things that are really pertinent to our business? Yes, two times max. You want, you know, if it's two pages, like your homepage and your about page will sometimes have very similar keywords, or your homepage and like your services page, but make sure you limit to two. So make sure you're keeping track of it. So when you can't rank for like what you really want to rank for, or you are in a competitive niche, your blog really makes the difference, because we use the blog to drive small bits of traffic. Remember, we talked about this earlier in the week. If we have a blog post that targets a keyword with 100 visits a month and we can rank in position number one, then we can get 34 visits from that particular post approximately. And let's just for simple math say we have 30. So now we've got 30 visits coming from that. Let's say we've got 12 blog posts that are, or 10 for simple math, 10 blog posts that are all ranking in position number one. That would now bring us 300-ish visits a month. If we had 20, we'd be 600-ish. So do you see how this can work? If we have 600 coming a month from those 20 blog posts, that's now over 7,000 visits in a year. So it's really easy to get to that 10 to 12,000 visits in a year, because we're targeting keywords. While they do have a little less search volume, we have a better chance of ranking, which means we can get more traffic from those blog posts that are providing value and are helpful, that are still driving people to our website, that are still interested in our products and our services. This is how we use this strategy to drive more traffic, so that you're not dependent upon ads. You're not having to compete against the big guys and buy keywords or pay Zillow leads and all the different things that we have to look at. And like we talked about, if we had a $100 average order value, if we've got 600 new customers coming in, that 1,000 visits a month at 5% conversion, that's $60,000 in revenue in exchange for your blog post that you've been writing. You haven't spent a penny other than money maybe to learn how to do this, but you haven't spent a penny. You haven't bought an ad. You haven't placed an ad. You haven't done anything except provide value to your ideal customer and then work with Google so that Google wants to show it to them. So if you earn more than $1,000 per item, you could end up with that $600,000 in revenue. It just goes and it expands and expands and expands. The other thing that we see is that each year, our percent of traffic from SEO grows incrementally. So I was just looking at a research study this morning. Let me pull up my email super quick and I'll read you the numbers while we're talking about this. So within, like, how long does SEO take? So this was a study that was done. Over 100 million sites were checked. When SEO was done properly, within the first 6 months, they saw on average an 11.4% increase in traffic. Another 9.58% bump came months 6 through 12. So in that first 12-month period, they saw about a 20% increase in traffic. Year two saw a 49% bump over year one. So now we've got that 20 and we've now taken another 49% bump. So by year two, we've seen over a 50% increase in traffic. It's actually about a 70% increase in the total amount of traffic coming to that website. Year three saw a 30% increase over that increase for year two. And then year four saw another 13% increase. This is huge. This is why I show and say you can continue to make more and more and more. And this is what I do see for my clients. We see a nice increase year over year over year. So your blog SEO, blogging and SEO, your content, what I teach you is your path to more traffic, more sales, and ultimately more profit for you. You're keeping more of your revenue in your pocket because you're not building with ads. You also have more control over it because you are in charge of your website. You can use this traffic to grow your email list. Then you own it. I'm in a group, and yesterday one of the girls was saying she lost access to her ad account through Facebook. She's got an online course. She's been doing it for several years. She grew it and scaled it to $1.4 million in revenue last year. And when she logged in yesterday, she was locked out of her Facebook ads account. her business has just stopped. She's, thank goodness, she's got her email list that she's been building. So she's got that, but her ad traffic is completely gone. And there were other people in the group who said they've had the same thing happen, and it was at least 6 months before they were able to get it back. So this is why we want to make sure that we are building on something we own, which is our website, and then ultimately building that email list as well. So your blog SEO is going to be your path to more traffic and more sales. And that is exactly what I teach you how to do, is to figure out what to write about, how to optimize it, how to get it on your site. Your SEO is going to drive your targeted relevant traffic from Google. Your content is going to build your trust, your authority, and your loyalty with those visitors. So now you may be wondering what kind of blog posts. So I've talked about it a couple times. Google's had some changes. We've got the new algorithm update. So really what it boils down to is the same things that I've been teaching students and doing with clients for the last 15 years. And that's, your content has to be helpful. It has to provide value. It has to answer questions. It needs to showcase your expertise, your experience, and your background. Don't write about subjects that you really don't know about. And we're going to talk about that again in just a minute, because Google really wants you to stay in your lane. They want you to go deep on the subject that you know about. They want to show websites that are from experts. Do not ever just write for the search engine. We also talked about, don't just post something straight out of an AI tool. I know there are AI tools that say they can write your blog post for you. They can help. They can give you ideas. They can create drafts and outlines, but you need to be involved in the process in order to have it be the kind of quality content that Google is going to reward and rank. Just create great content that provides value for your customer, and Google is going to reward you by showing it to more people. So Google's got a couple of newer algorithm updates, newer ways of scoring content. So EAT, E-E-A-T, started out as EAT, E-A-T. They added in the second E after ChatGPT and some of the other AI tools became big and exciting and all of that. So the second one is experience. So Google wants to know that the sites that they're showing, the blog posts that they're sharing, all of that is written by someone who knows what they're talking about. They want somebody who's got experience, expertise, authority, and trust. And they are grading each page of your website based on that criteria. And it is independent. It's, each blog post is looked at through EAT separately. So they really want to make sure that they're ranking sites that are great. So let's talk for a second about it. Let's say that you have a baking blog. We'll go back to sourdough. So you have a sourdough baking blog and you're very authoritative on sourdough baking and you get a lot of traffic and you make money because you link to your products or you offer courses or whatever it is. And you decide you want to add in another business, but you want to keep using your sourdough website because it's so powerful and it gets so much traffic. And why wouldn't you? So now you start writing about your, let's say, RC toys. No relation whatsoever to sourdough. You are not going to rank as high for anything related to RC toys because to Google, your website is about sourdough. To the consumer, your website is about sourdough. And you're now confusing both Google and the consumer. So Google really wants you to stay in your own lane. We also have the helpful content algorithm update. This has been the main algorithm now for about 18 months. It really goes back to everything they've been saying since at least 2012. So this is not changing. What helpful content means is just make sure that the content that you're writing, and this is straight from Google, the content that you're creating is super helpful. It's tied to what your ideal customer is looking for. It answers their questions. It provides value. As a consumer, I'm sure at some point in time, you have landed on a search result and gone, that told me nothing. That is what Google is trying to get out of the search results. They do not want to rank pages that are like that. The other thing that's new, I don't have a slide on it, but it's really good. I'm seeing it benefit a lot of my students as well as my clients and myself, is a newer algorithm update called Hidden Gems. And this just came out in the last maybe 4 or 5 months. It is designed to find hidden gems, meaning smaller websites that are really great sites or maybe comments in forums, things like that. But what I'm seeing the benefit is smaller sites are now able to rank for things that maybe they wouldn't previously. I've started ranking some of my older posts that I wrote that previously I didn't rank because all of the SEO tool websites were so much more authoritative than mine. I'm starting to rank for some of that because my content is actually a better result for it than just something from a tool. So that hidden gems update has actually been really good for small business owners, and it makes this a great opportunity for you to get into SEO. The other thing I'm going to share with you is a few years ago, it felt like nobody really wanted to do SEO. It felt scary. It felt hard. Social media was more fun. Facebook ads was easier, whatever. Facebook ads is not easy. Anybody ever tried Facebook ads? Holy cow. I'm still trying to learn them and master them and figure it out. It is not easy. They are not easy. But there was this perception that SEO was too complicated, too hard. Don't do it. People are starting to realize that SEO is the key that's been missing for them. And I'm starting to see a lot more interest in it. With that being said, now is the perfect time to get into it because you still hopefully have a competitive advantage. If you are able to come in now, learn and start doing it before your competitor starts doing it actively, you can generate more traffic. If you're in a situation where you already have a competitor who has zeroed in on it and is doing a great job with SEO, you're going to be playing catch up, but you need to start playing catch up now. Because remember, we talked about that research study with 100 million websites. You're going to see that like 20% increase generally in search traffic that first year. But that second year, we usually see that 50% increase. And then we see on average another approximately 30% increase in year three. This builds like your retirement account. The sooner you get started, the sooner you will start to see results. It's a long-term investment. If you're going to be in business for a few years, this is what you're doing, you're serious about it, this is definitely the strategy for you to go for. Now, we're going to talk homework. This is wrapping up today's lesson. Tomorrow, I'm going to go through your websites. We'll do a live website review. So if you have a website, you've tried to play around with SEO, you've worked on it a little bit, you want some feedback, be sure and be here live so that I can look at your site with you. I will give you a little bit of feedback, give you some ideas what you could do. And then we're going to talk about scaling with SEO. And then I'm going to share some more about simple SEO content, and enrollment will open tomorrow. So if you're thinking that you really want to do this and just have somebody tell you exactly what to do and show you how to do it, I'm here. That's what I do. So tonight's homework, I want you to review your website's SEO. Have you optimized it yet? Which pages are there ones that you're going to need to change? And your blog, if you don't have a blog, start brainstorming. What's your content strategy? What are you going to write about? Are you creating the right content? Do you understand what your analytics are saying? Do you know if people are reading different blog posts or not? Because this is all stuff that's going to really help you set your strategy. If you choose to join me in class, this is all stuff that we're going to work on together so that you put together a strategy, you create a content calendar, you have your content pillars, you know what to write about, you know how to do the keyword research, you know how to have the confidence that you've chosen the right keyword so that you will get the results, and you're going to understand your analytics well enough to know if what you're doing is working so that you can then make changes and shift your strategy as you move forward. All right. If you have questions, go ahead and put them in the comments in the chat. Otherwise, I will see you back here tomorrow for day four, where we're going to look at your sites. All right. Thanks so much for being here today. I greatly appreciate it. And I will talk to you tomorrow. Thanks so much. Bye for now.
That's all for today's episode of the Simple SEO Content Podcast. I want to thank you so much for joining me. Make sure you visit my website, etchedmarketing.com, and visit the freebies tab. Right there, you're going to find the SEO Content Quick Start Guide along with the free SEO class. So you'll have everything you need to know to get started with SEO and content marketing. Then do me a favor, if you wouldn't mind, if you would do a rating and a review of this podcast on your favorite platform, that would really help spread the message, and I do greatly appreciate it. If you have any questions, you can always DM me on Instagram @EtchedMarketingAcademy, and I will see you right back here next week.